760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Atlanta, Georgia. I hope you are doing fantastic. I'm Josh Harris with The Morning Quest. And why do I say Atlanta, Georgia, when you can listen anywhere?
Anywhere in the world.
Anytime.
Well, plus, what other Atlanta would you be talking about?
I'm talking about Atlantic City. That's what I meant to say. I hope you're winning big this morning. Actually, if you're in a casino at 8 a.m., please go to a chapel or something. There's other things going on right now.
You know, there actually is in Atlanta, Michigan.
Is it?
And I'm from Michigan. And I remember at one of my class reunions, this was 10, however many years ago, one of my old classmates said, "Oh, what are you doing now?" I said, "Well, I just moved to Atlanta." He goes, "Michigan?" I'm like, "No." Why?
Oh, the other Atlanta. Yeah.
You know, that's like me, because I was born in upstate New York, Amsterdam, New York. And so I'm from, you know, Amsterdam, and they're thinking I'm from the other another country. So totally understand.
Well, that's an understandable misunderstanding, isn't
it? No, I would think not knowing what Amsterdam is myself in New York. So,
well, I think that our listeners are going to be really disappointed, especially the ones who paid $4,000 for a pilgrimage to Rome, Georgia.
Oh, my gosh. Josh, you are crazy.
Or Athens.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do you have a prayer for us this morning, Allison?
I sure do. Let's start with the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts, asking for the gift of patience. In moments of frustration and struggle, help us to trust in your timing and to remain calm. Teach us to bear with others in love, to endure hardships with grace, and to wait on you with steadfast love. Lord, your word says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's from Galatians 5:22-23. May your Holy Spirit cultivate these virtues in our hearts, especially patience, that we may reflect your love and grow in holiness. Help us to seek your will above our own and find peace in your presence. We trust in your care, knowing that you are always with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Father, amen. Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen, amen. I had an interesting thing happen to me yesterday. So I went and brought a dear friend of mine communion out in Peachtree City, mm-hmm. and in assisted living, who has been such a gift and blessing and mentor in my life. And so just with traffic and when I left work here, I had a Zoom appointment at, like, I think 4:30 or something. And long story, I've been getting vocal lessons because it's part of my stand-up routine. I want to make sure I'm, you know, when I sing, it's not a hostage situation. Because right? My voice has not always been very good.
Gosh.
So trying to crank it up a little bit. And so it's getting real close, and I'm realizing there's just not enough time for me to get back to Atlanta.
You know, with
and
get
the
and
Zoom,
yeah.
And I was like, oh boy. But I knew God wanted me to be there. And I'm there, and I'm like, it literally got to the point where I'm there with this person, and it's feeding me so much. I mean, I'm getting more out of my time than anything,
yeah.
You know. And so I just got to the point where I just had to say, Lord, I trust you want me to be here. And I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm just staying the course, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm with him, I get this text from the vocal coach saying, hey, my 5 o'clock just canceled. Can
Praise
we push
God.
Back an hour?
Divine.
And it was like nothing. You know what I mean? I literally said, I don't even know, God, but I trust this is the most important thing right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was a reminder for me, you know, when I take care of God's business, he takes care of mine. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's just, I don't know. There's something worth talking about.
And I know for me anyway, I need to remind myself of
yes.
that often.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Be docile to the Holy Spirit.
Set the priorities and,
yeah.
You know, everything else falls into place.
Yeah. I wish I was 100% from the field. I'm definitely not. But it was just interesting where I just had to say, God, you're going to work this out somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think I typically panic a lot more than that, but in this one situation, there was a little more surrender. And
mm-hmm.
and then you ever get just surprised by something God does?
Mm-hmm.
And you should just have your socks knocked off, but it's like, well, I've had a few of these things that he's shown up and shown off. So it almost, in some instances becomes normal. We can get used to the miracles.
Well, and you know what I did years ago, and I need to get back to it. Mm-hmm. Make a little journal, have a notebook with you. Every time something divine, or you know the Holy Spirit's active or the Lord, jot it down. I remember finding it, and it was so funny because the notebook has a smiley face on it, and it says smile. But I was reading through those, and it just shows you how present He is, because we forget so quickly all the amazing things He does. So jot them down. Start a little journal.
Amen. Good word, Allison.
Thanks, Josh.
I heard on the news this morning that they're going to send SpaceX up to get those astronauts out of the space space station, because they've been trapped up there since June. They were only supposed to be up there 10 days.
Wait, really?
They were only supposed to be up there like 10 days, and they can't get them back till like March or April now.
Why is it? I don't even know the science. Is there like window or something?
Something happened. I can't remember what. One of their rockets broke down or something.
Okay.
It's in the shop.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Call up Pet Boys.
Yeah.
But when I heard that story, I was thinking about it. It's like, what if I was that astronaut? I would be so like claustrophobic, like, you know, you're trapped there for almost a year. And, you know, but then I was thinking, I would just have to put my trust in God. God, you're going to get me through this. And I don't know that, you know, I still think I would be panicking, freaking out. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a lot. Well, you got to rely on Jesus and Netflix. Like, you know.
Hold on a second. Were we talking about Netflix and being on paying too much time with stuff?
Oh yeah, no, I was just kidding. Of course, actually, I don't even have a membership. I'm proud to say.
You're so funny.
I really don't.
On Netflix?
Yeah, I don't. No.
Oh, you're that guy.
I don't either. Look
really?
At that. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Does everybody have a Netflix subscription?
I do.
Ooh. Well, we're missing out, Josh.
Yeah. Well, I mean. Anyway, to your point, Dave, that's a great point. Yeah, in those circumstances, you literally, what do you have besides God?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That piece of metal you're spinning around yeah. it, I guess. You know?
And in fact, one of the astronauts said that she was talking to some school kids, and she said she's been up there so long, she is afraid that when she gets back to Earth, she will have forgotten how to walk.
Wow.
Because there's no gravity. She hasn't walked in like over a year, almost a year.
I think that those people have to work out like two hours a day just to maintain muscle mass and bone density. Is that right?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because... Anyway, it's a whole different conversation. Again, like, what does the radiation do to your, like, long-term while you're up there? And I mean, there's all kinds of... stuff. So yeah, send some prayers upstairs. In this case, literally.
Way upstairs.
That is hilarious. Well, we got a great show coming up today. Father Adam Blatt from the wonderful parish of Christ our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, is going to be reflecting on today's gospel with us today. Chuck Persner is going to be back talking about our saint of the day. We've got some wonderful guests from the wonderful school of St. John Bosco Academy in Cumming, Georgia. Kim McDonald, the founder and director of curriculum and assessments, is going to be here with us, as well as Leslie Willis, admissions director, talking about Bosco since we are still celebrating Catholic Schools Week. And then coming up next, Dave Sloan, parishioner at St. Brendan the Navigator and executive director of the John Paul II Legacy Foundation, is going to be talking to us about the transforming power of theology of the body.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Dave Sloan, parishioner at St. Brendan the Navigator in Cumming, Georgia, and he is also the executive director of the John Paul II Legacy Foundation. So welcome to The Quest, Dave.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
We're glad to have you here, and this is just such a foundational teaching for what it means to be a human being. Can you tell us a little bit about what the foundation does and how they are sharing the truth of John Paul II's teachings?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about what the theology of the body is. It was written and taught by Pope John Paul II right at the beginning of his pontificate. It is the glorious revelation of God's plan for every man and every woman, what it means to be created in God's image. Every man has in his heart a desire to learn what it means to live fully and truly as a man. Every woman has the desire to learn what it means to live fully and truly as a woman. This is great good news. It's the kind of good news that when people encounter this good news, they say, this changed everything. This transformed my life.
Yeah.
And then the next thing they say is, this is the answer to everything in our world today. Mm-hmm. I hear people say those two things all the time.
That's awesome. So with that in mind and how great this foundation is, this foundation is dedicated to sharing the truth of the theology of the body. Can you tell us what the foundation does? What's its mission?
So the St. John Paul II Legacy Foundation is brand new. We were just founded last year.
Wow.
And we were created as very much a sister organization to the Theology of the Body Institute, which is run by Christopher West. The Institute has been going for just over 20 years. And Christopher travels the world giving these teachings. He also teaches immersion courses at the retreat center there in Pennsylvania. 7,000 people have traveled from all over the world to this retreat center to take week-long immersion courses and learn these teachings from Christopher. So now what we want to do, the reason we created this new foundation, is to make this great good news available to everyone everywhere, regardless of their ability to pay.
Nice.
So that's one pillar of our foundation. And the next pillar is to create new content. We're calling the Theology of the Body for Everybody. So this is content which is very accessible, which doesn't require just the sort of hardcore maniac who would come to a week-long immersion course, or you can take these courses online as well, but they're 30-hour courses. So we're creating content which is more accessible, which is more available to everybody, and that's what we'll be doing on February the 22nd at St. Catherine in Kennesaw. Is we'll have an all-day course with Christopher, and we'll have four cameras there. We'll be creating a video. It'll be basically a crash course in theology of the body, and that will be available to everybody.
Fantastic. So who should attend this event? Why should they attend this event?
Well, only attend if you want your life to be transformed and if you want to encounter the solution to everything. And if you think getting all that plus lunch for $25 is a great deal.
What a bargain.
That's fantastic. Hey, that's a pretty intense sales pitch right there. And so this is at St. Catherine of Siena.
Right. It'll be at St. Catherine on February the 22nd. That's a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Christopher will be there from 9:30 in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon with a break for lunch. And that is a whole lot of good news to get in one day.
It is. And the exciting thing is this guy is really the flagship scholar and authority on theology of the body in the United States.
Not just the United States, the world. Christopher spoke to 100,000 people in the Philippines who came out to hear him teach this. He's spoken to millions of people. He's been doing this for over 20 years. His books have sold hundreds of thousands of copies. A lot of people call him the theology of the body guy. Mm-hmm. Now, there's other wonderful people out there teaching the theology of the body, but Christopher is the one who is best known for doing this, and he's a heck of a fella.
Well, and I love the title of the actual retreat as well, Our Bodies Proclaim the Gospel.
Yes. Body language. We believe in body language, so we speak the truth with our mouths, we speak the truth with our hearts, we speak the truth with the way we live, but our bodies tell the story of the gospel. Jesus took on a body, and scripture tells us that in the beginning, God created us as male and female in his image. So those who have eyes to see can see the revelation of God in one another and in the way God has created us as men and women, and in the complementarity of the way that he has created us as men and women.
It's so great to learn this stuff because you realize that etched in the heart and the body of every human being is God-given intrinsic dignity. So going to something like this, one, it's a course in how to value another person, certainly the opposite sex, but also yourself. You know, you realize you're here on purpose for a purpose. And how was Jesus resurrected through a body?
Yes.
Right? God does a lot of important things through the human body. And so what an amazing opportunity to dive more into that and the significance of God's intentionality etched into our anatomy and relationships.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize John Paul II was a poet. Mm-hmm. He was an actor. This is the way he responded to the invasion of Poland by the Nazis was by writing plays and performing plays, writing poetry. He was passionate. He was a prophet. He was a visionary. And his teaching is a whole lot more than a set of rules about what to do and not do. This is the kind of teaching that when you read these words from John Paul II, I'll just tell you, me personally, my heart soared. My heart sang. I leapt up out of my chair saying, yes, 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 this is why God made me a man. Yeah. This is what it means. This is the great good news of why and how God created women. This is tremendous good news. If you want good news, be at St. Catherine of Siena on Saturday, February the 22nd at 9:30 in the morning. You can get the tickets on the St. Catherine of Siena website.
We just did a very, very powerful, special pro-life episode of The Morning Quest for the March for Life. And I know an amazing Respect Life director for a diocese, and his primary focus is theology of the body. And you would think, well, shouldn't it be more abortion outreach and, pro-life, prayerful presence in front of abortion clinics. And don't get me wrong, this person champions all those things. But I've heard that they said essentially, if people knew the theology of the body, they wouldn't have abortions.
Yeah.
Abortions happen in a dearth of love. When we can love, when there's enough love, when we learn how to let God love us and we learn how to love one another, then life springs forth.
Absolutely. So where can people learn more and sign up for this amazing event?
So come to the Theology of the Body Institute website to learn more about Christopher and his work, and come to the John Paul II Legacy website to learn how you can help spread this message around the world.
And what is that? JP2Legacy.org.
That's right. JP2Legacy.org. And it's JP and the number 2. Legacy.org.
Wonderful stuff. And let's say I want a ticket to St. Catherine of Siena, February 22nd. How can I get those while there's still some on the table?
Come to the St. Catherine website. Seats are limited. Space is limited. So don't wait around. Come to the St. Catherine of Siena Parish website, and you'll find this event on the front page.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much, Dave Sloan, parishioner at St. Brendan Navigator and executive director of the John Paul II Legacy Foundation. What a blessing it is to hear this message, and looks like a great event.
Thanks, folks.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:20.
Father Adam B., pastor at Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia. Welcome back, Father.
Hey, guys. So good to be here. Always a pleasure. Today we have a long gospel, so we'll just jump right into it. This is from Mark, and it says, "On another occasion, Jesus began to teach by the sea. A very large crowd gathered around him so that he got into a boat on the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on land, and he taught them at length in parables. And in the course of his instruction, he said to them, 'Hear this. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it produced no grain. And some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit. It came up and grew and yielded 30, 60, and 100-fold. He added, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." And when he was alone, those present along with the 12 questioned him about the parables. He answered them, "The mystery of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to those outside everything comes in parables, so that they may look and see but not perceive, and hear and listen but not understand, in order that they may not be converted and be forgiven." Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones in the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear, Satan comes at once and takes away the word sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, who when they hear the word receive it at once with joy, but they have no roots. They last only for a time. Then when tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Those sown among thorns are another sort. They are the people who hear the word, but worldly anxiety, the lure of riches, and the craving for other things intrude and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But those sown on rich soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold.
I love this gospel. I mean, this is probably one of my favorites, the sower of the seeds.
Mine too. It's I don't know what you want me to say about it. I mean, he gave you a parable and then he explains it. How do I add to the words of Jesus?
I know.
Good talk, Father. We'll see you next week.
There you go. It's a hard one to preach about sometimes because, you know, I sit there and I preach on this at, you know, on Sunday Mass or whatnot, and or even daily Mass. And the whole time in the back of my head, I'm thinking, he just explained this. How do I explain it better than Jesus does? You know? But actually, I want to turn your attention. There's one little kind of throwaway line in here. A lot of times we hear the famous passages, the ones we're very familiar with. This one, for example, the sower and the seed, and kind of get lost in the details there. And it says, when he was alone, those present along with the 12 questioned him about the parables. I think that line, that sentence, is far more important than we realize. Because what does that tell you? Imagine back when you were in grade school, and you're sitting there in front of your teacher, and they're teaching you, they're explaining things, and then you raise your hand because you have a question.
Yeah.
Why do you have a question? Why do you ask a question to a teacher? Because you don't know. And so what does this say? It says that those closest to Jesus are hearing the word of God straight from the source, right? They're hearing it firsthand, and now they're raising their hand saying, what in the world are you talking about? I'm confused. I don't understand. I think what we should take away from that is that when God's talking to us, when we're listening to the word of God, whether it's from the pulpit, whether we're reading it privately, whatever the case may be, it's okay to be confused.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's okay if you don't understand. The best of us didn't understand, you
yes,
know?
Yes.
And so it's okay. I mean, those closest didn't understand. But if we left it at that, that's where the problem would be, right? If we just, I don't understand, I'm throwing my hands up. It's like we're that bad seed where we heard the word of God, it was too challenging, and so we don't bear fruit.
Yes.
When you don't understand, that's when you want to ask questions. You want to raise your hand and say, Lord, help me understand this. You know, what do you mean by this? And that's when you want to go deeper. When we don't understand, we need to come to him even more. You know, I think that sometimes God becomes, you know, confusing, maybe, just because it causes us to want to seek him more for clarity, for clarification, to grow closer, because it's in him that he helps us to see more clearly.
And the key is desiring to see it and saying, Lord, I don't understand. The key is being humble enough to want to ask, how do I get the answer to this? I want to learn. I want to understand.
That is 100% the key, because it's when we do that, when we go deeper, we get that clarity. You know, the more clarity you get, you know, the deeper you go, the closer you're drawing to him. It's when you don't understand, when you get confused, and then you just throw your hands up, that's when you start going down a dangerous path, you know. And for those listeners out there who are thinking, well, you know, I don't understand, but I don't know where to go. You know, I've gone to my deacon, I've gone to my priest. They answer in a way that's only more confusing. What do I do? Where do I go? There are so many resources out there. I like to think that that was a horrible example, and all your deacons and priests are doing great jobs. I have no doubt. Maybe I should have thought of a different example. But if you don't understand something, you know, from a homily, or you go to your priest, you go to your deacon, you go to, you know, wherever, but there's so many resources out there. And if you're listening to this right now, then you're listening to a phenomenal resource. If all you know is the morning show, the local morning show of The Quest, then you are missing out on so much that The Quest has to offer. If you go to their website, they have various Bible studies and reflections. There's several different series on there that you guys have. You know, you have a whole series on St. Joseph, the Book of Esther, the Letter of the Ephesians, the Passion, which I haven't seen, but I'm actually excited to. So I will check that one out. Everything from family shows to young adults. And, you know, I'm actually flipping around on your website right now, and it just popped up. Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
Yes, at noon.
John Ricardo is phenomenal.
Yes, he is.
If you're confused or you don't understand something, those resources are out there.
What an inspiring example. The people who were Jesus's inner circle weren't afraid to say, I'm not so sure what you're talking about right now. The closer we get to Christ, the more honest we can be.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. Jesus taught so much in parables, right? There is a sense of concealment. right? From someone who's not really listening close. If you're not really paying close attention, and in a way, it's almost made to be chewed over a multitude of times, because there is kind of an infinite or a limitless amount of meanings and applications to it.
Absolutely. It's definitely limitless. It's definitely, you know, as we say, the scripture and the gospel, the word of God, it is for all people of all cultures for all times.
Amen.
And so it's, there's nothing in there that's not going to be applicable to somebody who is walking around 2,000 years ago or 2,000 years from now.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of times the parables that he uses, and I've said this before, and this is just Father Adam talking. This is more like speculative kind of stuff. But I don't know. It sounds good to me. I think one of the reasons he talks in parables is because how could we understand otherwise?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he talks about how heaven is like a mustard seed. Heaven is like the bread, you know, the unleavened bread. It's heaven is like dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm. He never just says heaven is this. It's always analogies. It's always parables. It's always something else. And it dawns on me that none of us have ever seen heaven. And so how can you explain something to a person who's never seen it in ways that they could understand?
Yes.
It's like if you were born blind and you had to explain to a blind person the color red. How do you explain red to someone who doesn't even know what color is?
Yeah.
How do you explain heaven to someone who doesn't know what heaven is? You know, that peace, that joy. When all you know is a fallen world, all you know is black and white, then you have to speak in ways that they understand.
Amen.
It's never going to capture it completely until you're there personally, you know? Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Father Blatt, from Christ, our King and Savior. We look forward to the next one.
Absolutely, guys. Always a pleasure to be here.
It is 8:29. I am Allison DeLule. On the Catholic Loop, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, at just 27, is the youngest in U.S. history to hold the role. A devout Catholic, wife, and mother, she spoke at yesterday's press conference. Her Catholic faith is central to her life. Raised in a devout Catholic family in New Hampshire, Leavitt credits her Catholic education for shaping who she is today, teaching her discipline, hard work, and the importance of public service. In July 2024, she welcomed her first child, Nicholas, while working on Trump's campaign. Thomas Aquinas, the Catholic saint and doctor of the church, might have not foreseen the rise of AI, but his philosophical and ethical insights can help us navigate its challenges today. German theologian Thomas Marschler explains that Aquinas' teachings on the nature of the soul and human consciousness can offer a counterpoint to those who view humans purely through a naturalistic lens, especially when it comes to AI. Aquinas also encourages us to question whether just because something is technically possible, it's always the right thing to do. Marschler adds that Aquinas' work reminds us that technology should ultimately help us live good and fulfilling lives aligned with our spiritual nature. As for AI's take on Aquinas, ChatGPT sees him as a key figure in Western philosophy and theology. While a more playful chatbot, Grok notes that while Aquinas made great contributions, some of his views on women and heretics might not sit well with modern sensibilities. If you're interested in learning more about Aquinas, Marschler recommends checking out the Thomistic Institute and resources from the Dominicans. Aquinas' influence on Catholic theology is undeniable, and his legacy continues to shape contemporary thought.
And in other news, President Donald Trump has signed an executive order prohibiting federal funding for gender transition procedures in individuals under 19. The order directs federal agencies to withhold support from institutions providing treatments for such as puberty blockers, hormone therapy, and gender-related surgeries to minors. It also mandates the Department of Justice to develop legal protections for whistleblowers and to pursue investigations into states that facilitate these procedures. The administration emphasizes that these interventions are irreversible and potentially harmful, aiming to protect children from making life-altering decisions at a young age.
I'm Dr. Marcus Peter. Coming up at 5 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest, join me for Ave Maria in the afternoon. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:34.
Chuck Persner is back with us. Good morning, Chuck.
All right. Good morning, Allison, and good morning, Josh.
Great to see you, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great, especially in light of the fact that today is National Carnation Day.
Oh,
how nice.
Yep. Observed every year on January 29th. Now, this is interesting. It was established in honor of William McKinley, who was our 25th U.S. president. As many historians know, he was assassinated in the year 1901. He always wore a red carnation on his lapel.
Wow.
And the carnation was said to be his favorite flower, and he wore one for good luck. And on National Carnation Day, also known as Red Carnation Day, was in fact established in memory of President McKinley. Carnations appeared multiple times throughout his political career. It started in the year 1876 when he was running for Congress in Ohio on the Republican ticket. And this is an interesting story because you just don't see this type of fellowship and partnership. And you know, what happens is his competitor, Levi Lamborn, was a horticulturalist, and he had cultivated a strain of bright scarlet carnations. What a coincidence, right?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So before the debates between the candidates, Lamborn gave McKinley one of his carnations. And after McKinley won the election, he began viewing carnations as his good luck charm.
Wow.
And maybe they were because they just kept working in his favor. McKinley had carnations on his lapel, in a vase in his office. In fact, during his stay in the White House, he kept a whole basket of carnations centered in the cabinet room. And one political commentator joked, whenever someone came to see the president and couldn't get an audience with him, he instead got a carnation.
Oh, wow.
And according to legend, though, this is kind of a sad story. When President McKinley was struck by the assassin's bullet in September of 1901, he took off his carnation to give it to a young girl in the crowd. So many believe that his good luck left him on that fateful day when he took off his carnation. But shortly after his death, National Carnation Day started in his honor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And of course, that brings us to today's saint, because there's a reason for telling that story.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be St. Dorothea of Caesarea, also simply known as St. Dorothy, who is recognized in the Roman martyrology as a virgin and martyr. She is celebrated on February 6th, and she is the patron saint of horticulturalists and florists.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So we chose her today. In the Western Church, St. Dorothy has in fact been venerated since the 7th century. In late medieval Swedish saints' calligraphy, Dorothy is considered to be a 15th of the Holy Helpers. And in art, she appears with some saints that we've actually talked about on this program, St. Barbara among them, and two others. And this is the Quatuor Virginis Capitalis painting, also known as my pronunciation there was probably way off, but nonetheless, the Four Capital Virgins.
Wow.
Catherine and Margaret are the other two. So she runs in very good company. Mm-hmm. I think those saints are probably perhaps more known than she is. But again, we see a familiar story here with St. Dorothy. She was persecuted during the Diocletian persecutions. She was brought before the prefect, Apricius, who tried and tortured her and ultimately sentenced her to death. And, yeah, Allison, I know this was an interesting story. On her way to the place of execution, the pagan lawyer Theophilus had this to say to her. I know this is a story that got your attention.
Yeah, I know it sure did. It says, in mocking St. Dorothy, Theophilus said to her, "Bride of Christ, send me some fruits from your bridegroom's garden." Before she was executed, she sent him by a 6-year-old boy her headdress, which was found to be filled with heavenly fragrance of roses and fruits. Theophilus at once confessed himself a Christian, was put on the rack, and suffered death.
How about that?
Hmm.
Obviously, a story that moved him so profoundly that he offered his life in return. And of course, these were tough times. You know, her feast day is on February 6th because that was the day she was executed in the year 311. As we've discussed in prior episodes, Christianity was outlawed up until the year 313. So she was towards the latter end of these terrible persecutions that claimed the lives of so many of the saints we've talked about.
Yes.
Again, St. Agnes, St. Lucy, who all died in that 303-304 time period.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on for quite some time. So again, we see another young virgin martyr saint who espouse this idea of nuptial mysticism, a term we learned from St. Gertrude, giving herself as a bride of Christ and suffering the martyr's fate as a result of it.
A common theme with these young, courageous women, just with supernatural courage and fidelity to the Lord, she's commanded to renounce her faith and offer sacrifices to pagan gods, but remain steadfast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big strike against her in this circumstance. And then
Her beauty attracts the attention of powerful men who wanted to win her over through flattery or force, but she rejected their advances, remaining committed to her vow of chastity. Then is subjected to severe tortures in hopes that she'll apostate, but she endured them with unwavering faith, and eventually she's sentenced to beheading. So we see this spiritual tenacity that can only be summarized as a supernatural infusion of God's grace.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about it all the time. You know, it's not only what they gave up, it's the consequences they had to suffer as a result of giving it up. So they give up a life of luxury, living amongst the political hierarchy, and instead are tortured brutally. And ultimately, they are martyred for their faith.
She's also the patron saint of gardeners, brides, midwives, newlyweds, and love.
Yes. Wide assortment of things. What is a midwife?
A midwife is when a woman is going to be giving birth. They kind of work with her in the childbirth process.
All right.
Not necessarily a doctor or a nurse. It's a midwife kind of helps deliver the baby when the baby's time to arrive.
A very important thing that I'm glad that we have a saint to turn to in those situations.
Amen. Yeah.
Bridesmaids, I heard you say, Allison. She's also the
bride.
Oh, brides. I'm sorry,
yeah,
brides. Yes.
Yep. So, yep, those that are planning on getting married, yep, call them in her session.
That's great. So a lot of brides. If anyone out there who's listening is on the verge of being married or planning your wedding, which is a very stressful thing, I understand.
Yes, yes.
It's got to be, right? So seek her intercession so you can have the spiritual gifts of patience. And, you know, no bridezillas, I guess is what I'm getting at, right? You don't want bridezillas in this situation, and I can see that easily happening.
But, well, and also newlyweds. So those that are, you know, have been married recently, call an intercession to help you with that relationship for patience with each other.
All right.
Yeah, God chooses the weak to shame the strong, I believe, as it says in Scripture.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, on all humble appearances, you would think this person, there's no way that they could change the world, stand up to an emperor, create this enduring legacy that's just inspiring people thousands of years later, almost thousands of years later. And yet, with God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
And he qualifies a called. That's what I think of, right? When we say yes to him, he takes over for us.
Such bravery. You know, you think about, again, so young, going in front of the emperor. Think about in our times in the workplace, we've probably all had to suffer through a boss who was intimidating or bullying, how hard it is just to muster up the courage to go to them. And that's just in a work scenario. Mm-hmm. What's the worst thing that could possibly happen? In the case of these young martyrs, they're putting their lives on the line.
Yeah, and we see the two secret ingredients she had, a yes to God, an unwavering yes, and her devotion to give God her yes and extend her wedding finger in the process, right? Be wedded to Christ, and which we're all called to do in some way, shape, or form. It just might look different depending on that vocational call. One that allows us to best serve God, others, and help the most people get to heaven.
Yeah. Well, coincidentally enough, Father Vincent O'Sullivan, who I know is a frequent guest on this program, in a homily just a few days ago said, Christ wants to marry us. It's that image of the Christ being the bridegroom, and we are his brides. That's really what it, and the book of Revelation, right? And we read all the imagery, and it's more than just imagery. It is truly that bride-bridegroom experience. And that relationship that he wants to cultivate and foster with us.
Well, and the closeness, and when I was teaching my sixth grade class, you know, just talking to the kids about how he loves us so much. He wants us to be there with him. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with him, for us to call on him, to talk to him. So,
yeah, absolutely. It is remarkable.
All of us.
It's truly remarkable how much God loves us. I can only speak for myself. I'm not that lovable, but yet he loves us.
How could anybody not love the Chuck Stout?
I agree. How
America's
could people
greatest
not love you,
Saint
Chuck.
Scholar?
Saint Dorothea of Caesarea.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And every now and then, Dave.
And Dave has a very important announcement to make.
I do?
Don't you?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, we've been doing these requesting these questimonials.
Yeah.
And we want to get your feedback. We want to know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
What do you think about the show? What do you think about the quest in general? And we'll put that audio on the air. So it's somewhat of a complicated way to get there from our app.
And it's very easy.
Well, first of all, you got to know what a hamburger menu is. Or is it a hamburger button?
Yeah.
Is what they call it. So did you know what that was?
There's three lines and there's the bun, the meat, and
I knew it was called that, but I just cannot. I just laugh every time I hear that. It sounds so funny.
The hamburger button is the three lines that you'll see on an app, like usually toward the top somewhere. I think ours are on the top left. And so you click that, you tap that, and then you tap the, what is it, stay connected. Mm-hmm. And then when that opens, then you'll see a microphone way down at the bottom. Push the microphone, and then you just speak into your phone. Tell us what you think. And what do you think about the Quest?
No, absolutely. Yeah. And if you don't want to speak it, you can go to our website and you can jot something down, you know, type something in as well. Because I know some people might not want to hear their voice on the radio, right? Mm-hmm.
Make sure to include your Zelle because we're paying for these testimonials, okay?
Right. Josh is a comedian.
What? We're going
it's
into
coming out of your paycheck, so that's totally fine, totally fine. But anyway, I bring that up because... yesterday we got a questimonial.
Oh, that was great. We caught one.
But she said, I'd like it better if you would do the Bible verse, the memory verse, earlier in the hour.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, yes.
And because yesterday we had kind of forgotten about it and kind of squeezed it in right at the end. So let's do this. Do you remember what it is, Josh?
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Amen. Perfect. Yeah.
Wow.
Go, Josh.
You weren't even... reading it.
It is kind of in the greatest hits archive.
That's true.
But before you told me, I'm going to admit this on air. I didn't remember where it was located. I knew the verse. That's the important thing.
I didn't even remember it was Philippians, you know, so let alone 4:13.
I knew, yeah. There's always like a little room for growth, right? So you challenged me in a very gentle way and it inspired us to go deeper. And if we really unpack these verses, we can go as deep as we want to. So. Mm-hmm. Huge gift.
I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13.
Remember it when you're at the gym.
Exactly.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. Back to the morning quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We all share. We are so happy to be back and have two wonderful guests with us. We have Kim McDonald. She is a founder and director of curriculum and assessments at St. John Bosco Academy. And Leslie Willis. She is the admissions director. And they are here and they're going to talk to us about St. John Bosco Academy. I feel like it's a hidden gem out there in the coming area. And it's a great option for Catholic schools as we celebrate Catholic Schools Week. So welcome to the Quest, ladies.
Thank you so much
thank
for,
you
having,
for having,
us.
Having us. This is very exciting.
It is very exciting.
Very exciting.
And fun. You guys are fun people.
We are.
Thank you.
Yeah, we love this.
I've heard such amazing things from about St. John Bosco Academy.
You.
Obviously, I know Allison and one of her amazing kids goes there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'd love to know, how did it get started? What's the story behind this school?
Yeah, well, it started about 15 years ago. We had 19 children. We had four homeschool moms who really loved homeschooling and the fruit of it, but didn't want to be doing everything alone all of the time. So we took 19 kids of our own between the four of us. And we were in two homes. We called it the upper campus and the lower campus. And we started hiring just a few teachers, especially for the harder subjects like math, the primaries and language arts.
Yeah.
And after that first year, it was so much fun. We had this little community going on and... and we just grew. People started knocking on our doors. We went from 19 to 52 kids. We went from 52 kids to 76 kids. And we opened this fall with our own building and nearly 600 students in the hybrid model.
Mm-hmm. Wow. No, it's exciting. So what is the mission of St. John Bosco Academy?
The mission is simply to help parents save their children's souls, you know, to make that the primary thing that we're doing. The family is the primary sphere of influence and should be for their children. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be everyone else in the peripheral out there guiding our students for the majority of their time. So we just developed this, and we wouldn't want a five-day school even if we could have that. Mm-hmm. And we can go into what the hybrid actually is so people understand that. But the soul is the main thing. The soul is the main thing. Once you give kids truth with a capital T, mm-hmm. everything else follows behind that.
Amen.
And the academics and everything comes secondary. Okay? And we have academics, and we have a very strong community life and sports and all the things. But the first thing is our Catholic faith.
Amen. What a Correct. Gift. And that's going to pay eternal dividends, especially when coupled with a great education. So what are the benefits of a hybrid model?
Okay. Well, the benefits, I would say, for those of you who don't know what a hybrid model is.
Yeah, explain.
It is, we have two sessions. So we have kids in pre-K to 8 that come through Monday and Wednesday, and they have full classes with teachers who lead the curriculum for the parents. And then on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, the teachers tell the parents what to do at home with their students. Mm-hmm. So the curriculum is always moving forward. And then we also have a second session on Tuesday and Thursday. So students in that session come in on Tuesday and Thursday, and on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they have a session at home. Our high school has 3 days on campus. You know, it's a very strong, aggressive, not aggressive in a negative way, but a very strong classical curriculum. And they need that 3 days with teachers and then 2 days at home where they're working towards the
very much of a university model at that point.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's wonderful.
And it keeps the children with their families the majority of the time.
Which allows the parents to continue to be that sphere of influence and to really expand on that domestic church. We support that and aid that and are extension of that.
Yeah. So when they go back home, then I'm assuming there's clearly a curriculum and a multitude of assignments. So where, you know, they are still experiencing a school day, but it's it's at home within the, you know, domestic church, so to speak, of their family and household.
Yeah. And it's really wonderful because they're only at school 2 days a week, and they come in joyful, and there is just an intrinsic joy, really, that
there is.
Permeates the school.
Yes.
They want to be together. They want to be there. They don't look at it as, I'm just going to school. And then on those home days, they get to spend it with mom or dad, whoever is home teaching. We have dads home teaching.
Mm-hmm. We do.
And mom being the breadwinner, but they find that balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess what is inspiring here is it allows the family to be on mission with the children and also get behind the mission of the school as well. So everybody's on the same page.
Everybody's on the same page, and they get to practice their faith, not just on Sundays. They get to live their faith at home every day, you know, and when they get, when they're finished on campus, whatever session they're in, they get to go home and they don't have homework. They're done for the day.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
the evening is for family activities, sport, whatever the family enjoys. They get to experience that together and live their faith together.
We are so happy to have Kim McDonald with us, as well as Lizzie Willis from St. John Bosco Academy, and they are talking about the wonderful school here during Catholic Schools Week. And you know what, ladies? I know there is a second campus opening this fall of 2025. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. We are so excited about this. It will be in North Cumming, opening in the fall. We will initially serve grades pre-K 4 through 5th, and then plan on and adding another grade every year. But we really just wanted an opportunity to serve more people that are coming to us. Right now we're full. We just are not able to serve the numbers of people that are looking for this type of education system, and also embrace that an education that embraces our Catholic faith. Truly, God's will and God's great providence brought us this opportunity, and we're so excited that we're opening in the fall.
Yeah. That's great. So there's a campus that's opening in North Cumming. Is it going to be the same ages that you guys serve currently at your other campus?
Currently at our Shiloh campus, we're pre-K 4 through 12th.
Okay.
We will eventually get there, but we're going to start with pre-K 4 through 5th when we open in the fall.
Okay.
And then eventually get there. So it really will be a mirror of our Shiloh, current Shiloh campus.
That's wonderful. And so what are some special events you guys have planned during Catholic Schools Week?
Oh, we have a really big blessing during Catholic Schools Week because our patron saint is St. John Bosco, whose feast day is January 31st.
Yep. This week.
So, yep, this week. So we celebrate, excuse me, all week. We have a magician there this morning.
Oh, wow.
Who's juggling and doing things for the kids. We have an Italian feast week for high school on Friday. The teachers and the children dress down. There's all kinds of talk about the blessing of our school and the blessing we have in St. John Bosco himself. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know much about him, but he rescued orphan children on the streets of Turin, Italy. And he would juggle and do fun things with them, games. And then once he drew them in, he would catechize them and teach them the faith. And that is what we endeavor to do. That's our charism there with the children. And he always said, it's not enough to love a child. They have to know it and believe it. And then you can lead them to the faith.
That's fantastic.
You know, I know you guys have open houses. So when you do have those, what do you share with the parents, you know, when they're considering Catholic education for their kids?
Well, during our open houses, we have normally all the founders there. Leslie's there for admissions questions. We talk about our mission and pedagogy. We talk about God's hand, his providential hand in the growth of the school. So they see where we came from in the beginning and where we've gotten to. We talk about challenges that we see families face today in the world, things that are happening with the children, and hoping that we can provide information and sort of a protection against those things. Right. We talk about how the hybrid system supports the family's effort to raise their children in the faith. We share how our days play out at school, our schedules, our curriculum goals. We talk about our teachers being our greatest asset because our teachers come in and they teach what they love. So we have 70 on staff.
Wow.
If they love math, they come in and they teach math and then they leave. If they love the faith, they come in and teach theology, apologetics, etc. And then they get to leave. So, so our activities, we have just tons of things that we talk about, and then we tour the school building with them so they can see it in action.
That's fantastic.
So where could people get more information about your school if they were interested in reaching out and coming to an open house?
Probably the first place would be our website. We're super excited. We have a brand new website. Our old website limped along for many, many years, and we have this beautiful new website that we're so excited about, but it's chock full of information. It really will give a great introduction to SJBA, what the hybrid model is, and then if you want to just go to the admissions page, and then you can click the contact us and get in touch with me. It will give me a chance to reach out to you, schedule an appointment for a conversation, and we can start the process there.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much. Glory be to the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.